Tonight we talk about three mitzvot related to helping an animal in distress. These mitzvot are mysterious in that just reading the verses in the Torah to try to understand what's being described is challenging. Even after we read the psukim in the Torah and we understand theoretically what the mitzvah is about, it's even harder to figure out what is the primary theme of the mitzvah. I'll start here with the Psukim in Dvarim, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 22. We have a mitzvah, we just talked about returning lost objects, and here we have Lo tireh et chamor ochicha o sharo naflim baderach v'italamta mehem hakem takim imo. So it looks as though we have here a negative commandment and a positive commandment. Lo tireh et chamor ochicha, don't see your friend's donkey o sharo or ox naflim baderach, who are injured and falling in the path. Don't see them in that level of lying down and not being able to manage it, v'italamta mehem, and ignore them. Instead, hakem takim imo, you should help pick up the fallen donkey and also the fallen ox. Even after reading the Psukim and kind of getting a sense of what's involved here, it's still not clear what you're picking up when it says, Hakem Takim Imo, you should pick it up. What is the it that you're picking up? It could be you're picking up the animal. It's also possible that you're picking up the load that the animal is carrying. It says that the animal are Noflim Baderach, falling on the road. Animals don't normally just fall on the road. Are you picking up the animal or are you picking up the load? Now, this isn't clear from the verse, and that sparks a conceptual philosophical question here. Who are you trying to help in this case? Are you helping the animal? Or are you helping your friend who is sitting and needs help with transporting his load from point A to point B? It's hard to tell. The verses preceding this verse, which talk about returning lost objects, seem to be focused on helping your friend who wants his object back. We talk about giving back his garment in the previous verse. Obviously, giving back a garment is not because the garment is in pain, it's a garment. It's to help your friend. This suggests that the reason why you have to help the donkey or ox is because we are concerned about your fellow Jew's well-being. However, two verses after this, we have the psukim about sending away the mother bird before taking the eggs, which implies that we're concerned about the animal, that the animal, the mother bird not feel pain when the eggs are taken, and that implies that we're concerned about animal welfare. So we have a verse, help an animal that's fallen. We're not sure if you're helping it get up, and the focus here is the animal well-being, or if the focus is reloading the animal, and the focus would be much more on helping your friend transport his load from one location to the other. And this is the first verse in the Torah which talks about our mitzvah. This mitzvah appears in very similar language across the Chumash in the book of Shemot. Here also, we talked about returning a lost object in the preceding verse. And then we get, Ki tireh chamor sona'acha roveitz tachat masa'o. In this case, the setting has a little bit more detail. First of all, the donkey is not the donkey of any Jew. It's the donkey of Sona'acha, the donkey of your enemy. And here the animal is not just fallen, where it's hard to understand exactly what the animal's situation is. Here the animal is rovets tachat masa'o. The animal is lying underneath the burden. This suggests, perhaps more than the first verse, that we're concerned here about animal welfare. The owner is sana'acha, your enemy. Your enemy we might be less concerned about as a human being. And the animal is rovets. The animal is being crushed under a burden. Notice that the animal here is only a donkey. Oxes generally plow, but they don't generally carry burdens. But here the Torah only mentions a donkey because it's specifically focused on the animal carrying the heavy burden. V'chadalta me'azov lo, and you might think to refrain from helping him. Azov ta'azov imo, you should surely help remove the burden from the animal. But this verse ends with the same exact verse that the previous one ended with, imo, with him. Azov here in the verse, there's a big debate among the commentaries, what does azov mean here in the verse? Now, azov in a number of cases does mean to help. Efes atzur ve'azov in Devarim chapter 32, some people say that means to help. Some people says it means to strengthen, which here also could mean to help. But in both cases, the Torah ends the verse with the word imo. You're going to help your friend. Well, if it's to help your friend and to do it with your friend, that suggests that the focus is less on helping animals and more on helping your friend. The Torah text is ambivalent. The Gemara in Bava Metzia debates exactly this question and doesn't reach a clear definitive conclusion whether the focus of this mitzvah is helping the animal or the focus of this mitzvah is helping your friend. The Rambam chose to codify this law here in the laws of Rotzeach Ushmirat HaNefesh, in the laws of preserving health. That's an interesting decision because if our focus of the law, it's an interesting decision which cuts both ways. On the one hand, the laws of murder have dealt in the Rambam almost exclusively with human life. And the idea of including this here in a section that deals with human life suggests that this mitzvah must be focused on human concerns. After all, it's in a section of Rambam about humans. It's not in, say, the laws of food, which is where the Rambam deals more with animals, or maybe the laws of ethics. You could imagine this being the laws of ethics if the focus was about treatment of animals. On the other hand, inclusion in the laws of inclusion in the laws of preserving life suggests that the focus is the well-being of the animal, whose life is potentially in danger of being crushed under the load more than a human being. So the decision to put this here is intriguing, but it cuts both ways. Now we'll peek for a second at the last Rambam in the chapter, which also displays a little bit of this ambivalence. The Rambam writes, "Im matzao nivhal b'masao." If you see that the animal is in panic because of the cargo, mitzvah litom v'lifrok imo, you have to help load or unload the animal. V'lo yanichenu notel lamut, and not let yanichenu notel lamut, not let him die. Your friend die? How is your friend going to die? The animal is the one under a tremendous burden. Continues the Rambam, Shema yishev b'shvil mamono. Well, here's the reason why a human life is at risk. Because maybe the owner of the animal, if the animal collapses, breaks a bone, and can no longer continue, Shema Yishevish Bilmamo. No, the person will stay in the middle of nowhere with the cargo, the Avoli de Sakana, and the human being will be at risk of death. This ending suggests, hard to read exactly, how is the person at risk, but it suggests that the Rambam wants us to see this not as our concern for our animal, but our concern for a human being. If you don't help human beings with their luggage, they might be put in a dangerous situation. Rabbi Twersky, in his book on the Rambam, quotes this particular halacha and asks, is this what the Rambam really felt reading the verses, or is this a strategic justification about why he put it here? Now, the Rambam is worried that someone will say, why did you put the laws of animal cargo here in the laws of human risk? And then he says, well, I put it here to, with a rather far-off way to connect it with human risk. It's not clear how much the Rambam means this, but at least at the end, the Rambam seems to be showing his cards that he thinks the focus is on human welfare more than on animal welfare. Halacha Aleph. Mi shepagah b'chaviro baderech. If you meet your friend on the path, notice that the Rambam began with the human character, the chaveiro, the human being in the story, and not the animal. Uvemto ravata tachat masa'a, and the animal is crushed by its load. Ben shayaleh masa haraula, whether it was properly loaded, and it was just a fluky situation that the animal cannot bear the burden. Ben shayaleh yotermi masa'a, or if there was negligence on the part of the owner that he loaded the animal with too much that the animal cannot bear the weight. Hare ze mitzvah lifrok me'aleha. But it is a positive commandment to remove the weight. V'zo mitzvah aseh, and this is a positive commandment. Shne'amar azov ta'azov imo, as the Torah says in the book of Shemot, azov ta'azov imo, you should help the animal and release the animal's burden. Halacha bet. And you shouldn't just unload the animal and go. Eliyakimimo, you also have to help put the burden back on. Remember that if the concern is the human being who might be in the middle of nowhere, and because the human being is in the middle of nowhere, he might put himself at risk in order to save his cargo, you have to help reload the animal. Shneamar hakim takimimo zo mitzvat aseh acheret. So the Rambam is taking the verses in Shmot to refer to unloading, and the verses in Dvarim to refer to loading. V'minicho nivra v'lo parak v'lo ta'an, and if you did not do these positive commandments, bitel mitzvat aseh, you have violated a positive commandment, v'avra mitzvat lo ta'aseh, and violated a negative commandment, as it said in the verse that you should not. Lo tiret chamor achicha, you should not see the animal at risk. Okay, so far the Rambam has basically pretty faithfully, given us the verses. Halacha Gimel is where things get more complicated. Haya kohen v'abeimah rovatza b'veit. What if the individual being addressed is a kohen? And the animal is in a cemetery. Eino mismatmela, the kohen does not lose his purity to go. K'shem she'eino mistamela shiv aveda, just like he wouldn't go to return a lost object. And not only a priest, v'chenei imaya zaken, if it was an elderly member of the community, she'ein darko lit'on v'lifrok, who does not normally load or unload animals. Even if it's merely beneath the person's dignity, the Torah he is exempt. What do you make of this law? Why would it be that there are various exemptions in which the human being does not have to go and help? let's think back of our two conceptual models. Does this make more sense if the goal is to help the animal? Or does it make more sense if it's to help a human being? For me, it's easier to understand this law if the focus is helping a human being. I only have to help you solve your problem to the extent that I myself would do the same thing to solve my own problem. If somebody is a zakein, and it's not clear what zakein here means, is it an age factor, is it a social class factor? But if I'm a zakein and I don't, for my own donkeys, load them and unload them, so my responsibility to you, another Jew, is limited to what I would do myself. If I'm a Kohen and I don't go into the cemetery, I would not go into the cemetery for my own animal, then what I have to do for you is limited to what I would do for myself. If you take the approach that this is about animal distress, you could argue potentially that in these situations, you still need to help the animal. Unless you say that we're concerned about animal distress, but it's still not as much as a person. Namely, obviously, if a person is in need of medical attention and you're a physician who's a Kohen, you run into the cemetery to help. But an animal, we're concerned for, but not as much as a human being. This halakha is intriguing, but probably suggests that it's more about helping human beings, but you can't tell for sure. In Halacha Hey and Vav, the Rambam returns to the biblical verses and derives two additional halachot, two additional laws, based on textual nuance that appears in the biblical verses. In Halacha Hey, the Rambam notes that the Torah uses a double verb in both cases. In Shmot, it said, azov ta azov, and it's a double verb with a regular indicative verb, ta azov, and also an infinitive beforehand, azov ta azov, which is sometimes translated as you should surely help or you should helpingly help. And in Dvarim, actually, also uses a double verb, hakim takim, which would be translated as you should surely stand up or you should standingly stand up. In general, the Ibn Ezra, whenever he is acquainted with these double verbs, the Ibn Ezra, who's very akin to grammar, attuned to grammar, the Ibn Ezra would basically say, don't read too much into this. This is just the way the Torah talks. It's a literary turn of phrase. Just like in American law, if somebody said you should surely help as opposed to you should help, there's not really much to learn from that. And Ibn Ezra consistently, whenever we have these double verbs, the Ibn Ezra does not really, make too much of it. In contrast, Rashi and the Midrash are generally believers that the Torah doesn't use extra words, so why the double verb? So Rashi and the Midrash say, as the Rambam do, Parak v'ta'am v'chazra v'nafla. It's like, an old comedic routine. You load the donkey, and it walks five more steps, and it falls down again. Even if the animal keeps falling down, you have to keep helping the animal. Even 100 times, and probably more. 100 just stand-in for a very large number. As it says, azov ta azov, and hakim ta hakim. Lefikach tarch lehadadosimo ad parsa. You should accompany the animal for a parsa. To make sure it won't fall down again, Ellen King Omerlo Balamasa ino tzarechla, unless the owner says that it is not necessary. Now, Rabbi Tversky, in an article, pointed out that the Rambam and the Ibn Ezra often give very similar biblical interpretations. They grew up in very similar cultural milieus. They philosophically had a number of commonalities. So in a situation like this, where the Ibn Ezra is well known for having an approach, and in contrast, Rashi is known for disagreeing, But the Rambam agrees with Rashi is interesting. Interesting to see the Rambam agreeing here with Rashi, but the double verb actually teaches us something. In this case, teaches us that the mitzvah is performed as many times as is necessary. The Rambam then asks, "Me'ema sayit chayev lifrok v'litoni mo?" At what point in time is there an obligation to help the Jew with the animal in distress? Mi sheyir ehu, when you see him, riyah shehi kefigia, seeing him, to the extent that seeing is almost the same as encountering, because one verse says kisireh, when you see, the other one says kitufga, when you encounter. What is that? The rabbis evaluated this. When there is me'atayim v'shishim v'sheish ama u'shnei shlishi ama, so 266 and 2/3 of an amma. An amma is, of course, a foot and a half. So 266 and 2/3 amos is about 400 feet, which is 1/7.5 of a mil. This idea of having to help somebody at a distance of 400 feet is significant. And it goes well beyond what sort of Americans today do when it comes to helping. There have been many studies about altruism in which a psychologist sits on the road asking for funds, and they track who stops and gives funds to the psychologist who's sitting on the street asking for funds. Studies have shown that depending on, you know, what time of day, what time of year, what city in America, you get different responses as to whether people give and give generously or whether they do not give at all. But all those studies demonstrate that nobody crosses the street to give money to the person asking for money. So if you're sitting at a busy street, everybody on the other side of the street, or if not everybody, a good number of people on the opposite end of the street will feel that, will be aware of the fact that there's somebody asking for charity on the other side. But people very rarely will cross a street in America in order to give charity to somebody asking for charity. Namely, in America, ki tifga, if you encounter somebody who needs help, you'll help them. Now, the same thing goes if there's an elderly lady or you know, somebody who can't see who's trying to cross the street. If you come up to the intersection and you see them, you might help them cross the street. Americans in general, if you see them from across the street, do not usually go out of their way to go and help somebody. Only when you encounter them, ki tifga. The Torah says that's not the way we want our, you know, we want Jewish people to be. We don't want Jewish people to take the attitude, well, as long as I haven't encountered you and I have some kind of plausible deniability that maybe I didn't notice or maybe I didn't see, then I'll exempt myself from helping. The Torah says, no, ki tireh. As soon as you see them, that creates the mitzvah to help. One last halacha on the Rambam, which delves with one of the other features of the verse that we talked about when we were looking at the psukim. The Rambam writes, "Matzah be'mar chavero rebutza, al pi she'ena ba'alamima mitzvah lifrok me'aleha v'liton aleha." The mitzvah applies even if the owner is not helping. Im kein, if that is the case, lama ne'emar imo. Why does the Torah say with him, which suggests that the mitzvah only applies if the owner of the animal is actually helping? Well, the reason is, Shim haya ba'al behem asham, v'halach bi'ashav lo, if the owner of the animal is present and then goes and drinks lemonade, v'omar lezeh shepagabo, ho'il v'halacha mitzvah, im ra'itza lifrog l'badcha parok, and he's drinking lemonade and says, you do it, emo with him. The use of the word emo here teaches that not emo that the mitzvah only applies if the other person helps, but emo to say that if he's able to help, he needs to help you do it, and it's not for you to do and him to just watch. The more you understand this as being about helping a fellow Jew, the easier this is to understand. The more you understand that the mitzvah is about creating positive feelings among Jews, then it makes perfect sense why it has to be emo. Because he needs help. Another Jew needs help. If I help my fellow Jew and my fellow Jew is drinking lemonade, that doesn't create a helpful climate among Jews. I'm just going to hate him that he had me drinking the lemonade. If it was just about the animal, then maybe, yeah, he'll drink lemonade because I owe something to the animal. But the more you see this as being about creating relationships among Jews, the more you would understand why the Rambam is saying here that the other Jew has to help. I personally like to see this as being about, helping a fellow Jew. And with that, I come back to the word of sona'acha, your enemy. Why does the Torah have to stress your enemy? Well, there's one midrash that says that the whole purpose here is to create a scenario where you have an icebreaker, a way to interact with your enemy, who previously you had gotten into a fight with, by collaborating together to help a donkey, help the donkey. And therefore, you see the mitzvah about Jews helping Jews, and therefore it's only emo, because if the focus is Jews helping Jews, that wouldn't make a lot of sense if the other person is taking advantage of my labor. The idea here is bringing Jews together, teaching to help each other in a society, and to build feelings of collaboration and togetherness and mutual support among the entire Jewish people.